You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
All right. Welcome all campuses and digital family as well. Well, you can tell we got a new initiative and we're pretty excited about it with this thing, Kainos, that we're going to do. It's the Greek word for new. That's what the word Kainos means if you hadn't gotten that across just yet. So I want us on the count of three, all campuses, digital family as well. Everybody say Kainos on the count of three. One, two, three. Kainos. One more time. One, two, three. Kainos. All right. Way to go. Now you're bilingual. You can speak Greek as well. You're ready to go with that, which is awesome. Had somebody actually come up to me and they said, well, why did you pick such a strange word? I had to look in my Bible for 30 minutes and study what it really meant. And I said, that's exactly why we picked it. So that you would think about it and you would study it and you would get it in your mind, this new thing. These new things that we want to do, that you're even going to get a new t-shirt. You're going to get some new vision, some new perspective as well. Now, here's what we're going to do. You should have in your lap a Kainos book. We're going to use this for the next 5 weeks, okay? So think about it like you're going to a conference for 5 weeks is what I want you to think about it. So here's what I want you to do. First thing, class, write your name at the top, okay? So you can remember which book is your book. So write your name at the top. I wrote my name right there at the top. So we're ready to go. We're going to take notes out of this book. We're going to get vision out of this book. We're going to flip around some different pages in this book. If you don't have one, get up and go get one. You can do that. I don't mind a bit. That's fine. All campuses, jump in there to do that. And I want you to turn to page 72 in your book. And we're going to jump into the Bible in just a second, but our goal for the next 5 weeks is we're going to have a Bible on one knee and the Kainos book on another knee. That's where we're going to be. So go grab one if you don't have one. No problem at all. Page 72 is what I want you to look at because I want to give you a little tour. You're going to get on page 72, you get the notes page where you're going to take notes in just a minute on my message, Power of Team. And then you'll see that we've got a Kainos moment for you. It's a devotional for you to read sometime this week, that you can read through that and have a little bit more devotional thought and pray over things. Then if you flip it over, you've got a life Bible study lesson. This will either be taught in life Bible study or they'll direct your attention to say, we want you to read over this later on to be able to have. And then the last thing you got, or second to last, you got some reflections to take your notes. And then the final thing is a prayer focus. That we've got a prayer list there. So we want you to be able to read through all of these things this week. We're going to do this every week for 5 weeks. You're going to have a life Bible study aspect. You're going to have a Kainos moment for a devotional. You're going to have a prayer moment that we can pray through so that we can really get our hearts right and ready, okay? So I want you to go back to page 72 now. You can flip around a little bit more in your book if you need to. Page 72, and once you get there, then I want you to open your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, as we're talking about the power of team. Also in your Kainos book, I forgot to tell you, is a commitment card, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the message as well. But 1 Chronicles chapter 28, so you got on one knee, page 72. You got on the other knee, if you got my Bible, page 371. I doubt that's what you have. But you've got 1 Chronicles chapter 28 on your other knee. Now we're talking about power of team. Don't you love teamwork? Don't you love team sports? Isn't it an amazing feeling when we're down by a couple of runs and we've got two men on base and all of a sudden you hear, Jose, 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 Jose. And then Altuve comes up. And then you know Correa's coming up. Then you know Brevin. You know the whole front of the lineup's coming back up. And you're ready because we're going to get those runs. Needed a little bit more last night than what we got. But that's okay. We're coming back strong to be able to get that. There's something about the team that feels so good. There's something about doing it together that feels so good. Now, I don't play this sport. I've never watched this sport, but I think it looks cool, and I think it's a great illustration of teamwork, and that is eight-man rowing. You know the rowing things that they do? Where they get in there, and everybody's got to be in unison. You get one guy going off unison, it's not going to work. The boat's going to go in circles around and around. You see in this unity, you see discipline, you see focus. You see teamwork. The only negative you see is it always seems to be at like 5 a.m, you know, when these pictures are taken. But besides that, everybody's got to be on just perfect. And then they take off, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And in this world filled with division, what if the church was unified? This world filled with weakness, what if there was power in our stroke? This world filled with let's just do whatever we think at the moment, what if there was a moment of discipline and of focus and of self-control, and we were to get, and we were to just, every oar would be able to just go for it. Who's the hero on an 8-man rowing team? No one, it's the team. Who's the hero in church? No one, it's the team. And so we're able to row together, the power of teamwork. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, I'm going to show you teamwork. It's going to begin with David and Solomon, but it's going to go into the whole Levitical priesthood and really the people of Israel. David is going to say to Solomon, I want you to build the temple. Now, if you don't know your Bible well, that's cool. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're listening. The temple is not just like another church. The temple in the Old Testament is where the Holy of Holies is. It's where all the Jewish festivals are going to come to. It's a place of sacrifice. It's God's house. Literally, God's living there in that place. Now, we know he's omnipresent, but that's his house in Judaism of the temple. So Solomon's going to build the temple. What kind of house are you going to build for God? Well, it's going to be filled with all sorts of beautiful, beautiful things. David's going to get his son ready, as parents, we do with our kids, get him ready for what God has for his life. And we're going to find it in 1 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse 9. Verses 1 through 8 are talking about the things I just told you. Verse 9, and I want you to be ready to underline. As for you, Solomon, my son, know, I want you to underline know the God of your father. And serve, underline serve, him wholeheartedly with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands the intention of every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will reject you forever. Verse 10, realize now that the Lord has chosen you to build the house for the sanctuary. Be strong, underline this phrase, be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. First thing I want you to write down on page 72 right there of your booklet that you have is to write this. God desires a whole heart and a willing mind. A whole heart and a willing mind. God wants our whole heart. He wants it to be a love relationship with him that he says, I want your whole heart. Go for it with everything you got wholeheartedly with the Lord, so that you'll be wholehearted in your marriage, wholehearted in your singleness, wholehearted in your vocation, wholehearted in everything that you do. I want it to begin with a heart for me. Don't let anything get in trouble or get in the way of your heart for me, because that will get you in trouble. So wholehearted, and I want you to have a willing mind, a willing mind. Now, sometimes in Christianity, people want to separate, well, let's just have a heart or let's just have a mind. That's together. We should be wonderfully, incredibly intelligent to our capacity Christians that love Jesus with all our hearts, right? We need major smart Christians in the world, much smarter than me, much smarter than you, to really say, well, here's why on this, this, and this. So the rest of us go, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But to have our whole mind and our whole heart in it. But I don't want you to miss something that I had you underline two words. It first says in verse 9, it says, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly. Here's what I want you to get. We have to know God before we can serve God. We have to know God before we can serve God. Now, the goal of Kainos is not that we just serve God by doing these projects that we'll talk about. The goal of Kainos is not that we just serve God in our generosity, in our prayers, in our devotion. The goal of Kainos and really Christianity, this new goal, this Kainos goal, is to serve God because we know God. So I want you to hear, before we talk about anything else, from the very beginning, the primary goal of our initiative over these 2 years is that we would know God. We want all of us to be involved with our hearts and our minds. We want to say, Lord, we know you, we love you, we're thinking these things through as we process these things of how we can give to further your kingdom. We want to know him first. The primary goal is 100% engagement. That's a pretty lofty goal. That means 100% of people are involved. That means every age is involved. Students, we're wanting you to come strong. Senior adults, we're wanting you to come strong. Single adults, married adults, kids, all the way around, every single person, single, married, kids, young kids, old kids, older folks, whatever it is, 100% engagement. Why? Because we all have an oar to row with, don't we? We've all got a moment to be on the team. And so God's saying here in this passage, I want you to know him, let God speak to your heart, and then you will serve him. The primary goal is to grow our hearts. Knowing precedes serving with a whole heart, a willing mind. There's lots to think about, and God wants to use us in that way. Now, God has been doing amazing things in our church for all these years because it's been about his heart. Our church is about his heart. It's not about your wallet, not about my wallet. It's about his heart. That's what we're about, God's heart. And we'll see that even further in the scriptures. And I just want to give you just some of the things we're already doing because we've broken this kainos thing into three sections. Our commission, that's our operating budget, okay? That's what we do. $31.5 million a year. So 2 years is $63 million. So that's the first thing is we want to do what we're already doing. Then we want to invest $20 million into our community, which is helping our Siena campus have a brand new worship center and environment there as they're busting at the seams at the Loop to do a lawn at the Loop right behind the worship center of a beautiful place to have an outdoor venue there, helping with the lobby as well, doing some other things. Our compassion is another $10 million, a missional endeavors, vulnerable children, Bible translation, helping with missionaries, faith centers all across the city that we're going to do. So $30 million of new money. $63 million of what we're already doing. Let's talk about our commission for just a second. What are we already doing? What's already happening? I want you to turn in your book to page 13, if you will. Turn to page 13. Now, page 13 is going to give you a couple of things here. And I'm just going to run through them. You can flip along. You don't have to be following me. I just want you to flip along. $63 million. Isn't that incredible? Of kingdom purpose money going forward. Absolutely amazing what God's used us to do. Let me give a couple examples of what's going on. Well, first of all, and you know this, we have four campuses. We're all over the city being able to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have also four faith centers. Those are places in which we help people with food and clothing that are in a tough time, that some folks that are struggling with poverty that need some help. We do all sorts of local missions work with that. Now, I want you to notice, we have as many faith centers as we do campuses. That is strategic. I did not want, as your pastor, for us to have a bunch of campuses in one place where we help poor people just so we feel good about ourselves, right? We have as many campuses as we have faith centers. And I'm telling you this, every time we add a campus, we're going to add a faith center because we want to stay balanced in being able to have our compassion and our community being able to go out with that. So that's an amazing thing. We have 11 Sunday worship services, 11 services through our church, 286 life Bible studies that we have. If you flip to the next page, in our Cypress campus, 123 people came to Christ just this summer. Downtown campus, talking about reaching the next generations, page 16, 56.4% of adults are under 40 in our downtown campus. 10 colleges represented, 10 countries represented downtown. Siena, 33% of our campus is 18 years and younger to be able to have there. Page 18, with missions, we're supporting 100 plus missionary families from 40 countries are supported by our church. Our counseling ministry, get this, almost 11,000 counseling appointments in the last year. Almost 11,000 counseling appointments on the last year. And that wasn't easy. Think of Zoom, okay? This is tough stuff to get done, but we got it done. 60% of those people don't even go to our church. Do you hear outreach and missions with that? Across all of our campuses, our next gen studies, that means our next generation, we have given 26,000 Bible lessons shared with first through fifth graders. 26,000, 100 middle schools represented and 93 high schools represented. The next page, 20 and 21, our pastoral care, this is kind of sad, but I want you to hear it. 125 to 150 funerals a year we do as a church. 125 to 150 funeral services a year. Local missions, we fed 126,000 individuals in our faith centers during the pandemic. We gave away 1.2 million pounds of food and had 27,000 gospel conversations in those times with those people. So I want you to hear $63 million. You go, well, what are y'all doing over there with all that money? That's just a taste of what's happening. It's absolutely incredible. A big church can make a big difference. So what do we have? We have a willing heart. We have a wholeheartedness and a willing mind saying, Lord, we want you to do this. So the first C of the plan is that we would have a commission, a great commission, and God would do this. The next C of the plan is that we would have our community and we'd even reach out further with the things I've told you about. And then our compassion with all of the missions work that we're gonna do. Now at the end, if you look back on your other knee onto verse 10, it ends with an amazing phrase, and I had you underline it. It says this, be strong and do it. So turn back to page 72 and write that down. Be strong and do it. Does it say just be strong and discuss it? Doesn't say be strong and think about it? Doesn't be strong and debate it? Doesn't say be strong and just think about it and all that sort of thing? Be strong and do it. Let me tell you how you move your life forward and how we move the kingdom of God forward through the church as well. Here's how you do it. Number one, you're given an opportunity. Number two, you engage in strength. And number three, you have action. Opportunity, strength, and action are what changes the day. You want to talk about it at your workplace. You've been given an opportunity to work and to serve and to shine with Jesus in that workplace. So now walk with strength, even when you're tired, and then have great action to go for it. We've been given an opportunity to serve the Lord through the church. So we've got that opportunity. Now let's have the strength. Then let's take the action to be able to move it forward. Be courageous, be strong, and do it. Go for it. Make it happen. Be strong and do it. Even in verse 20, be strong and courageous and do the work. It repeats in verse 20 of the same chapter. Now, here's the deal. Most of us are really, really tired. You feel tired? I know it's going to be a tough day when I wake up and the verse on my mind is, a smoldering wick you will not snuff out, a bruised reed you will not break. And it's 7:30, you know, and that's the verse I'm quoting. In my weakness, there is your strength, Lord. When I'm weak, you are strong. That's not supposed to be a life verse, okay? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my load is light. That's not supposed to be like on the wall of your house, okay? Those verses come along and we need them, but all of us are so tired. And God's saying, I want you to be refreshed in me, but I want you to take this opportunity that you have to walk in my strength and to have great action. Parents, you have an opportunity with that young one at your house. Be strong, walk in strength, and then have great action to get it done. We have opportunities in our workplace. We have opportunities in our church so that we can see God do his work. And he wants to include us in this as well. Look at verse 13. Also included were plans for the divisions of the priests and the Levites and all the work of the service of the Lord. Notice that he includes people as well. God's plan always has God's tools and God's talent. It always has God's property, yes, but also God's people. It also has God's leaders, and it also has God's locations. So God wants to bring us all together to use us as we row to let the Lord do his work. Be strong and do it. Be courageous. Now, here's what happens in these times. Happens in my own heart. We need to be courageous. But here's what happens when we talk about financial things and giving and generosity. We all want it. There's no doubt that we want it. And we all see the value of it. We go, wow, yes, let's make a difference in the world. I mean, don't you think the church needs to make a difference? I mean, if you don't, if you watch the news lately, hello, right? We need the gospel going forward. We need the truth of Jesus going forward. We need to be able to show the love of Christ to a world that needs it so badly. We need a kainos moment, a new moment to declare the strength of the Lord that's there. But here's what happens. It happens in my heart. It happens in your heart. When we start to hear these things, we kind of bristle a bit. I go, hey. And whenever that happens, you got to kind of have a little bit of a heart check. Why am I thinking like that? I mean, of course I want to help people in need. I mean, yes, but yes, I want to reach people for Christ, but why did I feel this instead of this? A lot of times it's because we just need to check our hearts, and we need God to do something in our hearts. Remember, our primary goal is our heart. It's God doing something in our heart and then serving him because we know him. The second thing is this. Oftentimes in these moments, and I raise my hand as well, we choose the cautious route instead of the courageous route. Our first thing is to choose the cautious route. Okay, all right, we can do it. Yeah, we can, okay. But the courageous route requires surrender. It requires God. It requires amazing stuff for the Lord to do. I just want you to know, $93 million as a goal is not a cautious route. This is a God-sized task. I don't know of anyone in our church that can write a check for $93 million. Some that can write a check for millions of dollars. Some that can write a check for tens of dollars. Some that can write a check for thousands of dollars, whatever it is. But God's got to do this. This requires all of us to row in unison to let God do his work in an amazing way. And so we've got to be courageous and strong. I love what it says. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Turn to page 64. Let me show you how we'll do it, just so you can see. We'll talk about this in the next 5 weeks as well, in the next 4 weeks, including today, five. And you've got in your book, every book has a commitment card that's been placed in there so that you can take this and you can pray about it. You can put it on your nightstand, slip it in your Bible, put it in a place where you'll see it. And then on page 64 and 65, it gives you just kind of a picture of how are we going to do it. Well, the first thing that we'll do in that first blank on page 64, what will we normally give in a year to Houston's First? That may be a challenging blank for you right there that requires some heart searching. What's our expanded generosity going to be in a year? Then multiply it times two. That gives you the 2 year. Kainos is 2 years. And then it's next from my stored resources, stocks and things like that, to give our total 2 year commitment. And then we'll bring this down front in about 5 weeks and we'll lay it on the altar before the Lord. There's a gift chart that kind of shows, well, where it would be, what's a gift level that you kind of look at and go, well, we could do that. That's probably your cautious pick. What's your courageous pick? And that we could all step forward and say, Lord, we want to see your work done in an amazing, great way. Be strong and courageous. Not be strong or be cautious and do it, but be courageous and do it. And let me just quickly say, and very clearly say, we are not, I am not asking you to give to the church. Now listen, I'm asking you to pray about giving through the church. There's a difference. If you feel like you're just giving to the church, some of y'all that don't kind of, I don't know about this, where are you putting that in that big safe back there? No, we're taking this and you're giving it through the church. So here's the deal. I'm a giver. Those 11,000 counseling appointments, I'm a part of that. Because I gave for that to be able to happen. Those thousands and thousands, hundreds of 126,000 people that got food, I was a part of that as a giver because I gave through the church, not to the church where it ends here, but through the church, cautiously, courageously is the step we want to let God do his work in such a way. David, to have Solomon build the temple was a courageous, courageous step. Be courageous. Live outside of our comfort zone. Give you an illustration of that. You've probably heard of Victoria Falls in Africa. I've gotten to go to Africa, went on a mission trip with our team here in kind of the northern part of Africa, Kenya area. Then we dropped down and went to more southern Africa and visited some of our ministry partners that we have as a church there. Anytime I go on a mission trip, I feel like I'm going on behalf of you and our church. And so we went there and we were close to Victoria Falls and we wanted to see Victoria Falls. So there we went, one of the most special things. I was just mind-blowing I got to do this. I woke up early from the hotel and I went to Victoria Falls and I just went for a run around Victoria Falls. I was the only person on the trail there. Africa is a gorgeous, amazing place filled with wonderful people, I want you to know. And this is Victoria Falls. Let me show you a picture. Is that incredible? Now, I didn't run too close to the edge, I want you to know, okay? I stayed on the trail behind the rail and ran through and then would kind of go, ooh, that's something, right? And then I'd run a little farther and go, whoa, that's something. Gorgeous. Do you know how this falls was discovered? It was a missionary. His name was David Livingston. You probably have heard of him before. He was a man from England. Interesting thing. His body is buried in Westminster Abbey. His heart is buried in Africa. Isn't that interesting? David Livingston was ministering to the people there in Africa, and he heard this roar and could see this mist, and he asked the people that he was with, the folks that lived there, and he said, "What is that?" And they said, "We've never gone over that there before. We're too afraid. We think it's a god who will devour us." Think of this big roaring waterfalls and this mist going up, and David Livingston, I expect with Bible in hand, said, "Let's go." And he goes walking over there, and they're kind of timid, coming through the brush that's there. And they get there, and they see this beautiful, beautiful sight. All their caution had kept them away from the beauty. And they needed one person to courageously say, "Let's go forth and see what that is. And look at the beauty now we enjoy in our world for decades, years, hundreds of years, whatever it's been, to be able to see that because of somebody that took a courageous step." What will God do with the beauty of a changed life through the courageous steps each one of us will take? How will God use that? Who will have that counseling appointment? Who will show up in that worship center that there's no chair for them right now? What missionary will be encouraged as we put almost $1 million towards encouraging a missionary? What vulnerable child in adoption as we put about $1 million towards adoption in that? What Bible translation as we spend about $500,000 on Bible translation? Who will open up that word? What will happen? What waterfall of grace will happen in that person's heart? Because you and I just did our best at our oars. Absolutely incredible. Now, let me give you two things and we're gonna wrap up. Verse 19 and then verse 21, okay? I don't want you to miss this, verse 19 and verse 21. Solomon's an unlikely choice, but he's chosen by God. In verse 19, here's what David says. David concluded, "By the Lord's hand on me, he enabled me to understand everything in writing, all the details of the plan." Stop right there. By the Lord's hand on me. Let me tell you what I really, really want in my life and in my family and our church. I want the Lord's hand on me. I want the Lord's hand on our church. I've been praying. You can join me in this. I literally have just been praying lately just with my eyes because I say, "Lord, just put your hand on our church. Just put your hand on our church, Father. Put your hand on my family. Put your hand on my life. Put your hand on my ministry. Lord, just put your hand on it." Now, how do you get the hand of God on your life? Ready? Don't miss it. God's hand always follows God's heart. God's hand always follows God's heart. How's your hand moving and doing right now? Because your heart's beating blood to it. That's how it is. So if this initiative of Kainos is not God's heart, we're toast. But we believe this is the heart of God to care for vulnerable children. We believe it's the heart of God to expand worship environments, to be able to reach people for Christ. We believe Bible translation is a part of God's heart. We believe caring for missionaries is a part of God's heart. We believe that as we reach out to our community to bring people in so we can send people out, we believe that this is a part of God's heart. And I want you to read every single page of this book. We've gone to a lot of effort to be able to make this easily read for you to look over it and that you could see God's heart and where God's heart is, God's hand is. In your life, get about the heart of God and you will watch the hand of God. Will everything be great? No, it won't. But you'll see God's hand in things. Where do we begin this whole thing? Knowing God is number one. What is knowing God about? Knowing his heart. When you know God, you'll serve God. So God's hand is on you. God's hand always follows God's heart. Amazing to think about. So in Kainos, church, let's just get about the heart of God. Everything else will take care of itself. In your dating singles, you get about the heart of God, then you just wait for the hand of God to bring that right person. You get about the heart of God, parents, and pray for the hand of God in your family. You grow your kids up with the heart of God and trust and watch the hand of God. Your marriage that's a struggle right now, you get about the heart of God, gentlemen, ladies, and then you let the hand of God go. David says, God's hand was on me. God's hand through the scripture is a powerful thing. Moses in Exodus 13:3, it says that you were brought out of Egypt by the strength of his hand. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore, what? Under the mighty hand of God, so that you may be exalted, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Hand of God. Next thing I want to show you in verse 21, this will be our last thing and we'll wrap up. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for the service of God's house. Notice again, God's people, God's talent, also with God's treasure and God's tools and God's placement. Every willing person, notice that, every willing person of any skill will be at your disposal for the work and the leaders, and all the people are at your every command. Do you see that? Every willing person, any skill, all the people. What is that saying? 100% participation. So if you're thinking, well, this is for somebody else, it's for every single one of us to be involved in the heart of God, the service of the Lord, and to let God do his work in a great way. That's what it's about. Everyone of every skill. There's people of all different skills in our church, and that's a blessing. That's great. Everybody, but here's the deal. We're not giving to the church. We're giving through the church, and all of us doing that, kids, I want you to be able to come strong. Parents, use this as a parental moment with your kid to sit down and say, tell me, what's your thought? What do you think God's laying on your heart? How can you be a part of this? Senior adults, single adults, married adults, all people, every willing person will be at your disposal. This is a God-sized task that we need every one of us. Now, let me close with an illustration to blow your mind and to touch your heart just for a second. And then we'll wrap up, we'll sing a song, and we'll go home and watch the Texans win, okay? That's what we'll do. We get letters and we get comments all the time to our church about how God's using our church. And it's a humbling thing. I tell you, I drive home. I go home. I have a car. I'm not that spiritual that I don't have a car. I go home and oftentimes I'll tell Kelly, you're not gonna believe what God did today. It's just great. It's just a great praise. You're just not gonna believe what God did today. We'll get these notes, and this was kind of one of those, you're not gonna believe what God did today. We got a check in the mail and a note with it. I wanna show you the check. To First Baptist Church from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice Inmate Trust Fund for $9. Hey, I want you to know we love prisoners in this church. We minister online to many prisoners through the radio ministry as well. We love you. If you're watching right now, Jesus can forgive you of any sin you've ever committed, and he can restore your heart, and God can give you a brand new life. And we're called to visit the widow and the prisoner and the orphan and all these things that God says. I want you to reach out. We've got amazing, you know, resources, even with Charm Ministry that we partner with here in our very church. And we love that. We love those guys and those gals. So we've got, yeah. So we get this check in the mail for $9 from the Texas Inmate Trust Fund. I didn't even know there was such, but we got this note. Dear First Baptist, I'm not a member of your church, but I do love Christ, and I realize how far he has brought me. Please accept my tithes and my obedience. Is that amazing? $9. So somewhere along, he made, let's say, $90, and he said, I'm going to give $9, and he filled out the form, however you do it, and you do it and submit it, I assume, and then somebody issues a check, and then this check comes, then he writes a little note with it, and it finally gets to our church, and a $9 check of somebody that said, I'm wholehearted for Jesus, and I'm thinking about how I can bless the Lord even from prison, and you guys and gals at Houston's First are ministering to me, and I'm just going to, here's $9. This is my tithe. This is my best rowing I can do. I'm sure he wish he could have given more, but here's $9. Let me tell you what, in Kynos, if everybody gives $9 more, we won't make our goal, okay? I want you to know that. But if everybody gives their best before the Lord, we'll blow it out of the water. If everybody mans their oar, if everybody's heart gets touched, Jesus Christ will do something through us. Not that we'll give to the church, we'll give through the church. And givers, you're a part of that prison story right now because you gave through this church for that to be possible. And when we upgrade our digital footprint even more, it'll be even greater to minister in those ways. But I just want you to hear this, the power of team. Let's all get in the boat. And with unison, faithfulness, discipline, self-control, all those things, let's just row. God's hand will be on us because God's heart will be before us. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that it takes 100 pages of a booklet to tell what you've got planned for us. So Lord, as we read this later today, as we go through this, as we try to remember this new word to us of kainos, something new, Lord, do something new in us. We got a new t-shirt. We got a new jersey, if you will, for our team. We got a new way of thinking through Christ. We have a new relationship with you, Father, and we want to see new things happen. If we didn't do one more thing, we're going to have $63 million worth of kingdom work. Wow. But Lord, if we all jump in and listen to you, we'll see another 30 million change lives in our community and in our compassion throughout the world in our city. Oh, Father, we love you. And may that precede any service. Would you just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know you before I serve you. Speak to my heart. Show me my oars. Father, we thank you for our brother in prison that his $9 is motivation to thousands of people. Touched my heart, touched our heart. Thank you, God. He could have never known how you'd use that $9. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that the first thing you got to know is that Jesus died for you. He loves you. That's the heart of God. He wants to have a relationship, a real live relationship with you. We could share that with you at any campus. What it means to know Christ. Not just go to church, know Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. And we worship you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.